The Leopard Spots, Matt's Tuesday Tips.
Welcome back to Trot's Life. Maddie, how are you, mate? And Andrew, I'm just going to milk he doesn't want to talk about himself, Andrew Spagnuolo, but I'm just going to milk a little bit more information out of him each week, I reckon. How are you, mate?
Hey, Tobes, I'm good. Spags, he's a man of mystery. He lives up north of the border somewhere, and he's just a man of mystery that we don't know too much about. But one thing I will tell you, I'm very excited, Toby.
Yeah.
Tonight, it all kicks off, the Cheltenham Jumps Festival over in England.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, secret little passion of mine, the English jumps. I was lucky enough to attend the Cheltenham Festival 2 years ago. I went to all 4 days.
Yeah.
The liver was a little bit worse for wear after the 4 days in a row. But for those who want to have a bit of a look and a bet tonight, at 3:10 a.m., Lossie Mouth, she looks immoral. And if you shop around, you can still sort of get 6-4 on in the English fractional odds. She's bypassed the main race tonight to take the easier option, and she looks close to immoral.
So she's gone over the 4,005. You don't think she would have got the 6,017 metres in the Maureen Mullins Challenge Cup chase? Serious. They run it over 6,017 metres, mate.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Those who haven't been, who love attending great race days and great racing festivals, it's a must do. They pack 80,000 in there 4 days in a row. The atmosphere is unbelievable. And it really is on the bucket list for anyone who hasn't done it.
Do they bet live in the 6,000 metres?
Yeah. There's live betting online, just like there is in Australian racing. You can bet online in jumps racing in play as well. But you've got to be careful, because I've noticed that when we watch our TV, we're actually on quite a big delay, probably about 15-second delay. Like, it's a bigger delay what you're watching on English racing on our TV compared to if you're watching an Australian race.
Yeah.
So don't go betting in play, because if your horse might fall at a jump, and you do your money cold before you've sort of realised that it's fallen.
So could you have Betfair up and see a horse go out to 1,001 and go, well, I know what's going to happen on the next jump.
Yeah, it means in about 10 seconds' time you're about to see it fall.
Yeah, that's not what we want, but
No.
I just can't believe, I've just looked at that. They're running over 6,000 metres. It's a real staying effort. Yeah. Maybe we need a harness race like that.
We might have a few drivers miscount the lap if we do that.
Oh, wow. It'd be more about the judge knowing when to ring the bell, mate. It would be an interesting concept. That's a discussion for another day. Miracle Mile, what superlatives can you throw at Leap to Fame off that?
I know last week I was saying on here that I was potting him. I just thought he was a bit short at the price, given that he was not going to see the pegs. But
I think
he
will pop
what me. We learned from the weekend is that he's the best miler in Australia.
Yeah.
He's the best 2,700-metre horse in Australia by even more. So even though the mile is not his most suitable trip, I think he's shown that he is still the best miler in Australia, and he's clearly obviously the best stayer by quite a margin as well. So I think after the weekend, it's pretty hard to argue that the horse has not now reached champion status. In my opinion, to be a champion, you've got to do it over a long period of time. And I think a lot of people prematurely label star four-year-olds as champions and things like that. But even though he's only five now, he's done it at 3, 4, and 5. He won 3 derbies as a three-year-old, the big 3 derbies down the East Coast.
Yeah.
As a four-year-old, he bypassed the chariots, but then he went on to still do good things later in the season. But he's gone to a new level now, and he's the first horse since Pro Chevalier 39 years ago to win the big 3 races in the space of the same campaign. So it's hard to argue he's not a champion now. Well, I guess now we just need to hope he stays sound and we can see him continue to do it for at least another couple of seasons, which, in my opinion, for him to be up in the echelon of the greats, he would need to keep doing it for at least another couple of years to be in the Blacks are fake, I'm the Mighty Quinn type of category.
Yeah, I was about to ask. So, because champion's a funny thing. Some people might have 200 horses listed as champions. Some might have 50. He's probably entered that top 50 bracket, well and truly, but not in the top 15, I wouldn't say, because of what you say. He needs multiple years of it.
Yeah, when you look back at the real champions over the last few decades since I've been following the sport. The ones that, in my opinion, are the best I've seen are the ones who were still doing it when they were 8 and 9.
Mm.
Like Black's a fake one, his last Intel when he was 10, I think. Like he won 4 Inter Dominions and should have won 5 if it wasn't for an out-of-control Auckland reactor. So when you put that into perspective of where Leap to Fame is in his career at the moment, he's a 5-year-old that's won 1 Inter Dominion. So whilst I'm saying, yes, he's now a champion, I still think he's got a fair way to go before we can say that he's in the Blacks of Fate category.
I would put a caveat on it, though. Our horses are a bit different these days. They're not quite the state. They don't just stay as at the top as long as what they did in the past, if that makes sense. So,
no.
Yeah.
And also with these other new races, like slot races popping up and stuff, there's more options for big prize money these days. Mm. And therefore, things like Inter Dominions maybe aren't the priority they were back in the Blacks of Fake era.
Yeah.
So that means you might end up with a champion horse who, you know, does it over a number of years, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come out and win 3 or 4 Inter Dominions because of the lower prize money and the strenuous task of running into Inter Dominion series. And you look at Lazarus, I think the last time we saw him race in Australia was as a 5-year-old, which is after the Miracle Mile as a 5-year-old was his last run. So essentially, and that's when he went to America. So essentially, we lost him to America at the exact point that Leap to Fame's career is at now. And like everyone's talking about Lazarus being one of the all-time greats, but I think for him, we want to probably see it's another couple of years.
Hmm.
And his career was probably cut short compared to what we would have wanted to see.
All right, here you go. If you were ranking them in order, would you have King of Swing ahead of him still?
Ahead of?
Leap to Fame. Geez, that's a good question.
Well, King of Swing won 3 Miracle Miles, but he never won an Inter Dominion.
No, he didn't.
He won a Hunter Cup, no Inter Dominions, but 3 Miracle Miles, and he did it across 3 seasons. 3 seasons at the open class. So I'm not really counting Leap to Fame's 3-year-old year when I'm talking about open class. So if Leap to Fame can sort of back it up with another good 12 months, then I'd probably then put him ahead of King of Swing. But at this stage, probably still just King of Swing because he's won 3 Miracle Miles across 3 different seasons, which is mean feat. And he's the only horse to ever do it.
Yeah, and a Black's a Fake too along the journey. I've got his record up in front of me.
A Black's a Fake, a Hunter Cup. He won pretty much everything except an Inter.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, what we might do, Matt, we'll take a break, we'll come back and we'll get your tips for around the grounds. Welcome back to Trot's Life. We are in our segment with Matt Leppard. And Matt, last week, 8 tips, 6 winners at $2.25, $2.40 the place, $1.75, $2.30, $2.60 and $3.70. You were red hot last week and hopefully we can replicate that out.
Thanks, Tobes. I'm glad I had a good day last Tuesday because on Saturday night, it's gone Miracle Mile night, I was betting into 4 venues, the 3 Eastern States plus the Northern meeting, and I actually had the worst night I've ever had on the punt in all my life.
Wow, really?
In terms of the amount I've lost across a night, it was the worst night I've ever had. I had a couple of good days earlier last week, and then I had a good day yesterday, Horsham Cup day, so hopefully I can just continue to bounce back because it hits you like a truck when you have a night like that, particularly when it's on one of the biggest nights of the year where you sort of pride yourself in trying to get it all right.
Mm.
And as I said, it just hits you like a truck. So the day after I was sort of licking my wounds and, but hopefully we can bounce back today.
Yeah, it wouldn't have helped when Ebony's Avenger nearly won either. You took me to task on that. Jeez.
Yeah, no, you, that was well found. I think she was actually going to beat Queen Elite. I think she had her covered until she galloped. But I was actually on Queen Elite at the shorts. It got out to about $1.45, $1.50 close to jump. So I backed it. So I am glad she galloped. But, I think she was going to lose Queen Elite.
Mm. It was very interesting. And they'll be back up again this week, those two, in the Scotch Notch when we get to it. Now, what are we doing at Mildura, mate? Race 5 you're tipping into, Triple Rock Saint.
Yeah, Triple Rock Saint, race 5. He looks the best of the night there at Mildura. This is a Julie Douglas-trained, Jack Law-driven 4-year-old, former Kiwi, last start winner at Swan Hill. Sat 1 out, 2 back and pulled out at the 600 and let rip and was just far too good for them. And from drawing 2 on the back row tonight, I expect it to be driven pretty similarly. Just follow through, settle in the running line, pull out at about the 600 and just use its speed. Jack Law's driving really well at the moment. He's in great form. And he drives the Mildura track really well. So this horse ticks a lot of boxes. It's clear class horse against a bunch of local Mildura trained horses, which generally if I bet into Mildura, which is not that often, but when I do bet into Mildura races, I generally look for the horses who are from outside the area who come to Mildura to race and have the clear class factor. And Triple Rock Saint ticks those boxes tonight. So he's into odds on now. He's been well backed, but rightfully so. And that's race 5, number 8, Triple Rock Saint for an informed Jack Law.
Yeah, I call him the Scott Pendlebury of harness racing. It's like he's got more time than others. Jack Law, he's just... And if I keep going on about it too much, I think you'll get a restraining order against me. But that's my issue, not yours. Menangle today. So I love the first race, Maximus Meridius and Veltino. I know you're not going to tip into it, but a couple of really, really good three-year-old trotters kicking off their foundation series.
Yeah, and they've actually trialled against each other as well. So in the trials, Maximus Meridius had him covered. But one thing I find with these younger trotters, when they're fresh and first up from a spell, quite often they can be a bit too fresh and gallop. So I'd tread very warily in that race. But it's more or less a watch and see for future reference, that race, I think, because they are very smart trotters.
And both of them got beaten in their first two starts as two-year-olds. So well pointed out. Race 2, though, another trot. And a lot of these horses we've seen over the journey should be a barker's going well.
Yeah, so this is a 2,300-metre stand start. Big field. We've got 13 going around, but there's only two of them off the front, and that's numbers 1 and 2. I'm with number 2, Salute Stride. Former Chris Lang trained trotter down in Victoria and then had a long break of a year and a half, went to Joe Rando. First up a couple of weeks ago was really, really good, running second to My Lightning McQueen in a quick 156.4 over the mile. My Lightning McQueen's in this race, but it's off a 30-metre handicap. So it's got to give Salute Stride a 30-metre turnaround for a 7-metre margin. So I think if Salute Stride can step to the front here, the only other horse off the front is its stablemate, so I'd expect it to hand up to Salute Stride. So if Salute Stride steps well enough from the stand, it looks a guaranteed leader. And on what we saw first up, it probably went well enough to lead all the way here, the only query being the extra half a lap up to the 2,300. So that's race 2, number 2, Salute Stride.
He's had some good trotters too, I reckon. Do you have Timothy Red, the one that was a revelation in the Inter-Dominion?
Yeah, Mary and Joe Rando seem to excel with the trotters in particular, more so than the pacers. And they did have Timothy Red, who won a couple of Inter-Dominion heats in Sydney 2.5 years ago. And then the horse broke down and has been retired, I believe. But he was a very smart horse.
Race 5 at Menangle?
Yep. Race 5. So it's a very open race. I've backed number 8, So Am I, each way for Robbie Morris. It's a horse that seems to be having to be driven sit sprints, but I think it will be today. And a bit of tempo up front, and if he just pulls it out at the top of the straight, it might be too quick for them. So it's into price now. It's probably too short to back each way, but I was on each way earlier. So that's race 5, number 8, So Am I for Robbie and Kerri-Ann Morris.
If Aaron Code's listening, I won't talk about Bo Steele. Anyway, let's keep moving or I'll get myself in trouble with former trainer Boris Devcich. Albion Park, mate, we're down to 2 minutes here, so we'll keep them pretty sharp here for kicking off in the third at Albie.
Yep. Race 3, Albion Park, number 7, Charge Ahead for the man of the moment, Grant Dixon. This horse is making its debut today, but it trialled really well. It hit the line really, really well in its most recent trial, and it's bred to go good. Cherish the moment, the dam. She was very smart. It still has tractability issues, but if it is put into the race at any stage, it might be too good for them. Then we'll go over to race 5. I'm with number 10, Dally Rowe. Very smart 3-year-old. Up to the middle trip, which probably doesn't suit as much as the mile, but that's why I expect it to be driven cold for just one crack at them today. So if there's any sort of tempo on, it can sit back in the running line, get the card up on the back of 4-star Lincoln over the last lap and hopefully just be too quick. And then we'll go over to race 7, and this one I think should win. Number 6, Kick a Tin Along Pony. Former New South Wales Riverina horse, now up with Graham Dwyer. And since gone to Queensland to join Graham Dwyer, it's been absolutely low-flying. I think it can push forward here and either lead or breeze and be too good for them either way. So that's race 7, number 6, Kick a Tin Along Pony.
Yeah, for a former New South Wales trainer who remained nameless, who's an avid Collingwood supporter, mate, which you would like.
Yes, we lost on the weekend, but it's only round one, so I'm not too disappointed just yet.
I think you're in trouble. I do think you're in trouble.
It's a long season, Tobes.
I know, mate. Mate, I hate to hear that you had a terrible night Saturday night, but you had a great week last Tuesday for our listeners anyway, so hopefully you've backed it up for us, mate.
Thanks, mate. Catch you next week.
Good on you, Matt. There is Matt Leppard. I'm getting better at it, I reckon, Matty.